The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
As darkness falls across the heartland of America, greetings. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our humble snowy bunker, everybody. Let's see. Day one of the 14th year of our...
Yes, and it just also happens to be 1-1-1-1-1.
1-1-1-1-1.
Yes. Which reminds me, there was an exercise we used to do with the barbershop chorus I sang with in St. Louis, where we had to sing 1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1. I wonder if we were sending out messages in binary.
Well, I was about to ask that very thing. What is 1-1-1-1-1 in binary if you throw in some zeros? Mind you, it's 2011, so it's 1-1-1-2-0-0-2-0-1-1. So
yeah, well,
if you throw in two ones for the two,
I don't know, but I did look it up with the zeros in front of the blank spaces. So 0-0-0-1-1-1-1-1 is.
It's New York.
Yeah, something like that. So anyway, welcome to it.
It's like a scene from Doctor Who.
Save this and record it so we don't have to repeat this on November 11th.
Please don't make us do this.
Yes. Well, a couple of interesting things in the news, and of course, maybe an extended analysis of where we are in the United States, the Western world, especially in the wake of the what we call the tragedy in Tucson over the weekend, but how it's being exploited by the government to create and maintain and perpetuate the climate of fear.
Amen to that. And excuse me for letting my mind wander because we will get to your question here in a minute. I was just sitting here looking at you and thinking how cute you are. And you should see him. He's wearing his little zip-up Wildlife Federation. Are you a tree hugger or something?
Well, no. My mom gave this to me.
I know. Yeah. And isn't she wonderful?
Yeah. I guess my dad had it, and
you never know what was in your dad's closet.
That's
you just
true.
Don't know.
That's true.
He had caps with Hoosier on them. Who knew we would end up here one day?
In Indiana. That's right.
I know. Well, I was just going to say that when the day comes, and I think it's just a month or two away, that you're going to actually see us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not going to be 3D.
No, that's true.
There are only 2Ds here, Derek and Dachshund.
Yeah.
If we get another Dachshund, it can be in 3D.
There
honey.
There we go, 3D.
Yeah, that was my handle when we first met.
That's right, Diva Doc.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, anyway, I just thought that I'd bring that up because you are awfully cute. But back to your question. Yeah. Your observation that, yes, indeed, in the wake of this shooting, there have been so many, you know, grabs for power, and that's mm-hmm. all these are.
Yes, absolutely. And we saw it coming even over the weekend as the blogosphere became very agitated. We saw the left point to the Tea Party and point to Sarah Palin. In fact, there were even some calls that Sarah Palin needed to somehow disassociate with herself from and denounce Jared Lee Loeffner, the alleged shooter of Representative Giffords in Tucson, Arizona, over the weekend, and that resulted in the deaths of 6 people, 14 others also shot, including Representative Giffords, as though Sarah Palin had anything to do with this guy's rampage.
Well, that's the truth, and I don't know if you have taken a look at newsbusters.org, but according to Bill Maher, he claims Giffords' shooter's chalkboard, in other words, Loeffner's chalkboard, quote, wouldn't look that different from Glenn Beck's.
Well, except that if Glenn Beck were a communist and an atheist and read Mein Kampf.
Well, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That is exactly right. It amazes me how this is being spun, that Loeffner wasn't someone who needed help.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally needed some help. He is very, very disturbed.
Yeah, in
now,
a spiritual sense.
How he got that, oh, amen to that. And
right.
That's why we're here to talk about this. But it's not a political thing.
No, and the right wing kind of pushed back against this claim that somehow Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin are responsible, saying, well, yeah, well, and we mentioned this yesterday, the guy at the Daily Coast, which is the ultra-left wing blog site, where a contributor who's in Representative Gifford's district had posted that she is dead to me now, two
mm-hmm,
days before.
Blue boy.
Yeah, and of course that post has now been erased from the site. I guess you could point to the Communist Manifesto too, which others have done, and say, well, see, clearly he's a left-wing nut. Well, look, again, that obscures the whole point, which is that he is spiritually disturbed. He sold out to the dark side, to the enemy.
But, you know, that's just it. You're not going to get Rush Limbaugh or Glenn Beck or Bill
or
Maher
Keith Olbermann
or any of those guys to address the spiritual aspect of all this. And that's ultimately where it all
right.
goes.
You know, and it was interesting. I was listening to the radio this morning. There's a station out of suburban Indianapolis that carries a morning show produced by the Washington Times, which, of course, you know, is owned by Sun Myung-moon.
Sun Myung-moon,
right.
Sorry.
Wrong
Korean.
Yes. But they, for years, the Washington Times, United Press International, which is fairly, I would say, fair and balanced, but the Washington Times is definitely a conservative newspaper, and this morning show definitely leans conservative. But even this morning, as they were talking about the shooting in Tucson, they pointed to the fact that Jared Lee Loughner is a truther. And the guest, whose name I didn't catch, talking to the morning hosts, and the morning host agreed with this assessment. The guest said that truthers, people who don't believe the official story of 9/11, mm-hmm. are mentally disturbed.
On the conservative show?
Yes.
They said that? Well,
yes.
You know,
well, of course.
That really shouldn't surprise me a whole lot,
yeah.
because birthers have
right.
been branded as idiots and mentally incompetent by Fox News.
Yeah, Glenn Beck.
Yes.
So, you know, this is a point.
And Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah. And this is a point at which the left and right in the blogosphere and on the talking head programs agree. They find common ground on this, that anyone who questions the official 9/11 story, anyone who dares to say, you know, if President Obama would want to resolve this birth issue in his place of birth, all he needs to do is release the official birth certificate. But because we ask the questions, we are somehow now linked to the shooter in Tucson.
That is so true.
So welcome to modern America. And that, you know, that leads to a point. Glenn Greenwald, who I've mentioned before, a columnist at Salon.com and a self-described liberal, has been writing about this for quite some time. He wrote about the assassination list, the hit list
mm-hmm.
that is being kept at the White House and is very critical of the Obama administration, which came into power on a promise of transparency and eliminating some of the special privileges that the Bush administration claimed, like, the state secrets privilege. You can't make us tell you in court, even if you subpoena us, because we are above the law. And
I'm sorry. I have to ask you a question.
Yes.
Why is it okay for the government to show up and kill somebody out of nowhere, and an individual showing up and killing somebody out of nowhere is against the law? Now, I don't advocate either one.
Right. It's evil either way.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So the notion that Obama, that the federal government has a hit list
mm-hmm.
of any kind has – why is that any different than some individual deciding, I've got this hit list and I'm going to go out and I'm going to take down these people one at a time?
Well, that's a really good point. Now,
I mean, spiritually speaking, murder is murder.
Right. Now, you can argue in wartime, there are times when black operations may be necessary to weaken the enemy's, capability to inflict harm. You can build a case on that, although I don't know you can make the same moral case from Scripture as a Christian.
But then you get into what is war? Is it conflict that has been declared by nations against each other? I don't know. What is war?
Well, that's a really good question, and it's sort of been redefined here since 9/11, hasn't it?
Yes.
We're not fighting a nation state. We're fighting terror. We're fighting a concept. We're fighting whatever.
We're fighting a tactic.
We're fighting whatever the government tells us it is. We've always been at war with Oceania. And the fact that the United States president can maintain a hit list that only he has the power to add to or take away from. No judicial oversight, no congressional oversight. Only the president and his advisors can decide who goes on that list is horrendous. I mean, that's the kind of thing that led to the American Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And yet now in the 21st century, because of events like what happened in Tucson over the weekend, because of the underpants bomber from last Christmas, we are being told that it's necessary for the government of the United States, the president of the United States, to have this kind of power. Furthermore, the government is taking even more steps to intimidate. And this is the whole virtual panopticon thing that the Collins brothers have been talking about for many, you know, for years now. They're trying to remind us through various tactics that we are constantly under surveillance. I mean, of course, we got the X-ray scanners at the airport.
And that we need to be constantly under surveillance.
Right, because you never know when the guy next to you in line at the, you know, at the airport or the train station or to get in to see the football game might be, you know, wearing a bomb belt.
Right.
Well, the Department of Justice has subpoenaed the Twitter records of a number of volunteers for WikiLeaks. This was Friday. This took place, January 7th. And one of these volunteers, a former volunteer, is a current member of the Parliament of Iceland. And she'd been notified by Twitter that the Department of Justice had served a subpoena asking for all of her personal information on the account. Now, a lot of us listening now use Twitter. We use Twitter as a quick and easy way of communicating in short little bursts back and forth. And it's a little bit intimidating when you are a private citizen and you suddenly get a notice saying, hey, by the way, the Department of Justice, the federal government is investigating you and they want all your records. Now, here's the thing. The request by the Department of Justice was originally a sealed request, meaning that Twitter was not allowed to notify the subjects of the inquiry. Okay? Twitter, to its credit, filed a, you know, went to a judge and said, look, can we unseal this? Can we make this public? We'd like to notify the people who the government wants to investigate. So they've got, you know, 10 days to object. And a judge agreed. And so had Twitter not taken that step, the people, including this member of the Icelandic parliament, and I understand that the government of Iceland has now summoned the United States ambassador for an explanation.
Mm-hmm.
It's turning into an international incident. You know, why are you demanding this private information from this person who all she ever did was volunteer for WikiLeaks a few years ago before she got busy with government and had to step back from that? Her name, by the way, is one of the three, along with Julian Assange and another volunteer, connected with that really disturbing video that WikiLeaks posted about a year and a half ago.
Collateral damage,
right, of an American helicopter gunship basically shooting citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget if it was Afghanistan or Iraq, one or the other, but it was very disturbing. Not to watch if you're squeamish. So apparently the United States government wants to investigate those three people because of their connection to that particular video. It has nothing to do with the most recent WikiLeaks leaks. But here's the thing to think about if you're tech savvy at all. If you use Twitter really doesn't ask you for very much information. Your personal data, they don't really ask for a whole lot. You don't get It's not like Facebook, where you're telling them where you went to school and where you work and what you studied and what you like and don't like.
And honestly, you can't say a whole lot on Twitter because you are limited to, what is it, 160 characters?
No, I think 120.
Yeah, you can't write a whole lot.
Right.
Unlike Facebook, where you can put up entire notes.
Right, exactly. So the point is this. What other online sites were subpoenaed by the Department of Justice that chose not to go to a judge and say, we want this to be made public so we can notify the targets of this investigation?
Well, you know what?
Because it's not likely. It doesn't make any sense that Twitter would be the one site that the government went to if they wanted to find out a lot about you and me.
I totally agree with that. But here's what I think. I think the government had access to all of that information already.
Well, sure they did. They don't even
need. But they needed, in order to present it in court, they had to have a legal way of obtaining it, of having it.
Sure.
They were probably already in possession of it, but they really couldn't reveal that they're mining and trolling all of our sites and digging in and getting our personal information.
Absolutely. And here's the other effect of this disclosure that the government is going after Twitter accounts and presumably other online accounts like Facebook and MySpace or whatever. People who... In fact, this has already happened. Here's an example of how this intimidation factor can work. there was a rumor or speculation out there that the Department of Justice would not only look at the records of these people connected to this video release at WikiLeaks, but then all of the people who follow WikiLeaks' Twitter account would also be investigated by the Department of Justice. Suddenly about 3,000 people quit following, you know, WikiLeaks on Twitter, just deleted them from the account because they were afraid of being the United States government is sending out a message to the world that if you dare mess with us, we're going to make your lives, we're going to make your life miserable.
So let's all go follow WikiLeaks.
We don't need a warrant to do it. We don't need to charge you with anything. The president of the United States can have you declared an enemy combatant and locked up indefinitely, like Bradley Manning, or can put you on an assassination list, like Anwar al-Awlaki. Now, again, I'm not defending either one of those guys. I'm just saying that you've got a president of the United States who is exercising king-like power.
Well, you know, before we go any further, I just want to make sure that you all know where we come from on this, and that is, spiritually speaking, there is nothing to fear.
Yes, yes. And that is the key point here. I mean,
Jesus Christ is your Savior,
yes,
then you really have nothing to fear. He has already won the big war.
Mm-hmm. And this is something Sharon needs to remind me of every now and then, because when I start down this road and some, you know, I get my good rant on.
and you've got great rant.
the old debate team, my inner debate team captain comes out again. And, you know, I get so wrapped up in the rhetoric of making my point and crafting, you know, all that stuff. But Sharon is absolutely right. Our allegiance is first and foremost to the kingdom of God, not to the United States of America. I mean, Scripture is very clear that we're to live peaceably and to obey the ruling authorities. Okay? That is very clear in Scripture. And so while we make these points and point out, hey, look, the king has no clothes here, Republicans, Democrats, all the same party. It's all the Wall Street party, which is why Bill Daley is going to Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Obama is just making sure that his masters are well pleased with him so he can be reelected in 2012. That none of that really should frighten you as a Christian.
No, not at all.
And even though you may not like this government and you may not like, regardless of which party's in power, the laws of the land are the laws of the land. We may work to change them within the laws of the land, but we are not called to... and this is
Glenn
something
Beck
that's
is going on and on about how we're going to lose the republic.
You know, if we lose it...
As Christians... That is not our top priority.
Exactly. And that's where we're going with all this.
The reason Derek and I are concerned that we are losing our so-called rights, that the American Republic that we know is disintegrating, maybe has already disintegrated, and we just haven't felt it yet, sort of like the housing bubble.
Yeah,
burst,
yeah.
And really not everybody felt it right away. The reason we are concerned about that and we talk about this is because it is this nation and the way it is constructed in the Constitution that allows Derek and me to say whatever we believe on this internet radio show. It allows you and your mother and your father and your brothers and your sisters and your neighbors to preach the gospel message without fear of being told you can't do that because that's not the national religion or that's against the laws of the national religion. We need to protect the republic only because it allows us this freedom.
Right.
But if we lose the republic, then that is God's plan, and we need not fear. In other words, people, the harvest is right here, and we have got to work while the day is here because night is coming.
Right. And the other thing that I think is important to recognize is that the sooner we see the game for what it is, the sooner we get our heads out of that game and, you know, into the real game, which, as Sharon said, is getting out into the field and trying to, you know, bring in the harvest. If we're caught up in the left-right paradigm over who's right, you know, Loeffner was a liberal. No, Loeffner was a conservative. If we get caught up in that, we're distracted. We've taken our eyes off the ball. The true game is the spiritual war, and we are all on that battlefield, whether we acknowledge it or not. And that is the game that we need to be concerned with. That is the battle that we need to be concerned with. If the Republic falls, so be it. It would be a sad thing.
I would really hate to see America fall. It's my home.
Yeah.
It's your home.
And I truly think that the experiment of the founders was a noble experiment, but we should not confuse it as with a Christian enterprise.
It's been 2,000 years since our Lord Jesus Christ arose from that tomb.
Mm-hmm.
We've been here a little over 200 as a nation.
Yeah,
we're pretty young.
Mm-hmm. So that's the reason for bringing all this to the fore, just to recognize the game for what it is. Don't get caught up in the talking heads left-right paradigm. Know that government today is the same as it was 2,000 years ago. Them what has gets. the golden rule, them with the gold rule, rules or makes the rules.
Oh, honey, that's good.
I'm
sure it's not
original
to you, but it's good. It's good. Well, let's not talk about north south.
Yeah, interesting stuff going on out there. In fact, I saw this last night as I was just checking on sports because the basketball team from my hometown, the city of the Big Shoulders, the Bulls, doing the dance. Yes,
I know.
Having a good year this year, and one of their star players, one of their best players, a small forward, Luol Deng, is from Sudan, and so he went and cast his ballot yesterday at.
I thought Sudan's in here somewhere.
Yep. Chicago was one of I think 14 cities around the country where expat Sudanese mm-hmm. were voting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
On a referendum to declare the southern part of the nation independent. This is Darfur.
I think it goes through the 14th of January, something like that, 14th
okay.
or 15th. The southern Sudan is essentially a country already.
Mm-hmm.
They have a state capital and everything. They have mostly Christians, if I can remember correctly. But here's the thing. I posted a video at PID News this morning, and it is a woman who is speaking to the potential in southern Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, she meant commodities and consumers.
Well, that's
those are her words, not mine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Also, remember this, that in 2005 or so, George W. Bush announced that that was the year that essentially the peace agreement was signed between what is now North and South Sudan. George W. Bush announced that he wanted a huge military base built there.
Mm-hmm.
AFRICOM intends to put its headquarters there.
Yeah. And why the United States needs an AFRICOM, I don't know, but...
Well, to protect the oil and mineral rights. I mean, come on, people.
Not the oil and wine.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And if you look more and more at what Scripture says about these last days and how the poor are going to get poorer, the rich are going to get richer, mm-hmm. and that is exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
And in fact, there's a story that just blew me away, the headline. And I hope I have it at Instapaper. Here it is. Indonesia volcano prompts evacuation plan, but coffee okay.
Oh, that's bizarre.
That's from Reuters. Indonesia volcano prompts evacuation plan, but coffee okay.
Well, do they mean the regular coffee or the kind that comes from Indonesia after it's been processed through the monkey's gut?
I think they meant that kind. Oh, goodness. Well,
that's
Indonesia.
That's high-priced stuff. Yeah.
I know it. Indonesia is a big exporter of coffee.
Yes, it is.
And Krakatau has been rumbling. And apparently, according to this story at Reuters, we need not worry. We're still going to get our coffee.
Well, that's good.
Because that's all the West cares about. Are we going to get the commodities? We don't care if you die. We don't care if diseases and mm-hmm. earthquakes hit you. Are you still going to be able to put out that cheap stuff that we buy over here?
Yeah, and going back to Sudan for just a moment, because the irony of this just hit me as I was looking at some headlines on the story, the Sudanese independence vote or referendum. You know who's over in Sudan right now to call attention to this vote?
Who?
George Clooney.
Oh, that's right.
I mean,
he's doing a movie over there or something, isn't he?
Well, I don't know, but understand that he's there now.
Because
he's been actively campaigning for this for years for Sudan.
He'll eventually campaign. He and Alec Baldwin, they'll probably both run for office.
But the irony of this is that you and I know, looking in from the outside, we can see that what it's all about is the natural resources there, the oil. This is the man who produced and starred in Syriana.
Yes.
Does he not see that this is going to go the way of the rest of the Middle East? As China in the north, just like in Korea, this is the north-south thing you talked about earlier, China in the north, mm-hmm. the United States in the south.
Yes. Oh, yes.
It's going to wind up being just another Korea.
And here's
Korea.
The thing. China in the north, they have the port.
Yep.
The port of Sudan is in North Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
Southern Sudan is landlocked.
Well, U.S. AFRICOM will probably make sure that
North Sudan is
his neighbors
plays
are
ball.
Playing ball. Yeah, and we'll build a really big pipeline, which means even more work. So, so there's that. We got Indonesia. The coffee is safe. That's great. Some news from Mexico that we didn't touch on at the end of last week. Headless bodies found in Acapulco, 15 now. Decapitated bodies of young men found in the what's supposed to be one of the
safe.
Weren't
there more bodies than just the decapitated ones? I mean, it was something like 30. Was it 33?
Well, I don't know. But
it was a lot of bodies, more than that, and I think about half of them had been decapitated.
That's right, and they were all apparently men between 18 and 24, which is a very dangerous demographic in Mexico, apparently. They suspect it's due to the ongoing drug violence inside the country there. And also in Mexico, the head of the Santa Muerte cult, Saint Death, mm-hmm. has been arrested by Mexican police. David Romo, who is considered the high priest of the cult, which has millions of followers, was presented to the media. And this was actually a week ago, Tuesday, so we kind of missed this story. But he was arrested in late December, along with eight others in the cult. So, you know, don't know how that's going to affect the spread of Santa Muerte, which is showing up in American cities.
Oh, yes.
Bizarre cult. A woman dressed, a skeleton essentially dressed in like a wedding gown, a wedding garment. Devotees will come and present gifts of liquor and cigarettes and things and pray for success in criminal enterprises. It's supposed to be a...
I've never figured out the cigarettes. I have never figured that out. You know, I used to get my nails done, and I don't get them done anymore, but I used to get them done in a place where there were people from Vietnam and Taiwan. I apologize for
Vietnam.
Not being... Vietnam. Well, I said that.
Cambodia?
There was one from Cambodia and Thailand.
Thailand.
That's the other one. And they often had a Buddha or some other, you know, idol either at the doorway or very close to where they work, and cigarettes. Sometimes
lit, yeah.
Sometimes colas.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a snack.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did they eat them?
Well, apparently.
But, you know, it reminds me, honestly, it does remind me of the stories that you read about the giants in the Old Testament days. And
consuming everything.
Consuming yeah. everything and everyone.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't feed them enough, they will eat you because they were ravenously hungry.
Fee-fi-fo-fum.
This is not a left turn. If you have not seen the movie Ravenous.
Oh, yes, yes.
That is our recommendation for today.
Yeah, stars.
Some of you sent me notes and asked me and thanked me for recommending King Korn. Not King Kong, King Korn. It's a wonderful documentary. You must, however, see Ravenous, and sadly, it is only available on DVD. You cannot stream that on Netflix.
Netflix, huh?
I know, they're rats. I'd watch it every night. There is so much there.
Yeah, it is. It's got dark
it's
humor.
It's a spiritual. It's all about a spiritual battle.
Right, right. Guy Pierce,
indeed.
Jeffrey Jones, Robert Carlyle, who was magnificent in this role. And so, yes, very much worth seeing. And especially when you come at it from a Christian perspective, mm-hmm. in the Genesis and the Genesis 6 paradigm.
And
the
it
Nephilim.
Is so
right.
clear from the opening scene that this is all a spiritual battle. I mean,
yes.
they've got sort of out of tune hymns playing, mm-hmm. as the music for the – you just need to watch it.
Yeah, Ravenous, starring Robert Carlyle. Look it up. And, well, hey, this weekend, because I'm going to be out of town on Friday, no live View from the Bunker.
In fact, you're doing that interview in a few minutes.
Yeah, about half an hour from now.
We need to hurry because time is
essence.
Fast as up.
Yes, but I will be talking with Dr. Joseph Farrell, the guy who wrote the Giza Death Star and
the Nazi Bell.
Yes, SS Brotherhood of the Bell. He's got a brand new book that's coming out in just a couple of weeks called LBJ and the Conspiracy to Assassinate Kennedy.
Oh, I've got to read that one.
It sounds really good. So that'll be in place of the live VFTB. Until then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear.